Okay, Met fans, hang in there. There's possibly a chance you can eke one more out today. Well, maybe not. The Subway Series is probably going to come to a close today. Game 4 happening tonight. Sorry, Met fans. Better luck next time. The show is Insight. My name is Mark Farrell. Welcome to Thursday, Friday Eve. Straight up, 11 a.m., New York City, wherever you are. Hopefully it's a great day. It's a grand day right here in the Big Apple. Great show coming your way. Going to meet some extremely incredible people from the Helen Keller Services for the Blind, a great agency that has existed since 1893. Yeah, they know a thing or two. And Helen Keller herself is still, after all these years, I just find her so remarkable in all the adversity she was able to overcome and how she adapted. That's one of the things that really resonates with me. And when I speak to audiences live at high schools, middle schools, corporations about adapting to resiliency and just knowing that whatever, you know, comes your way, planned or not, you know, it's not the end of things. You just have to kind of reinvent yourself and make things work for yourself. You're going to meet Traig, who's an incredible young man who's got so much on the ball, who's been with Helen Keller Services for the Blind for a couple years, 2 years or so, and he's got some great things to share with us. And also going to meet Russell and Yocasta, also from Helen Keller Services for the Blind, who are going to give us some great information. So one thing that I want to talk to you about is, you know, this time of the year, August, you start thinking about, well, how is this summer going to be remembered? Well, let's not try to think of it as in the Charlottesville, Virginia atrocity that happened last week, even though we're going to be talking about that. But talking about musically, and then maybe movies. Like, when you think of music as a summer song, I think of songs that when you're driving down the road, when they come on the radio, you forget everything that's going on in your life, good, bad, or indifferent. And what do? You lean over, or you touch your steering wheel, you crank it up, or you're walking down a New York City street, you crank up your iPad, your phone, whatever, and you just really lose yourself in this ingratiating song that just you become transfixed with. And I don't think we have one of those songs this summer. And I'm a little bit bummed about this. Like, just a few minutes ago, I was at a corner across the street getting my extra large hot tea at 7-Eleven plug. And a car pulled up to me and was playing a song from Earth, Wind & Fire. And it was an awesome song. But right then, it made me think about how there's not one of those songs this summer. And yet, it could be arguable that maybe Justin Bieber's song, Despacito, is it. But it's not it for me. Not even by a close shot. It's a long, long way from being the song that when it comes on in a club that makes you want to rip off your wrong club. That makes you just want to dance like crazy and just, you know, go wild. Or when you're on the beach and just crank it up and just lose yourself, you know, and get immersed. That's what music is about. It's just a way to just kind of takes you to a different place. And that's what I want to talk about, that I feel like this summer, I'm not getting that, man. And it's kind of a bummer. So some of the options are Katy Perry. No. Calvin Harris's song, Slide It. It's okay. Certainly not one of his better songs. Harry Styles, Carolina, again, okay. And Justin Bieber's tune, Despacito. You know, you listen to this and just get back to me. I'm sorry. I'm just dozing off.
Come and move that in my direction. So thankful for that. It's such a blessing, yeah. Turn every situation into heaven, yeah.
Yocasta probably likes it. Give me a nod.
Huh? My sunrise on the darkest day.
Russell?
Got me feeling some kind.
Russell's feeling it? Okay, well, here's the deal. I'm not feeling it. Yeah, I think he's a great musician, and I think it's a great duo because, you know, obviously they're trying to get the Latino audience probably on the Justin Bieber bandwagon, and I just, you know, think it's not Song of the Summer material. However, I am happy to say, I think, and my 8-year-old son agrees with me, that the song Mi Gente, Yocasta, you know it?
Yes.
Yes, of course. By J Balvin and Willie William, this is my song of summer 2017. I love it.
Si el ritmo te lleva a mover la cabeza y empezamos como es.
Have an open mind. I have an open mind. Even if you don't speak Spanish, doesn't matter. Feel it. Feel it, baby. Feel it. Here we go.
Mira el ritmo como los tiene. Hago música que entretiene. Mi música los tiene fuerte bailando y se va así.
That's right. Yeah, so that's my song of the summer, Mi Gente. So, you know, yeah, how could you not love that song? So if that song comes on a dance floor, it's going to go wild. The beach is going to go wild. At a corner, a streetlight, when you're crossing in a taxi cab, New York City taxi cab is blasting that song. That is what makes you feel goosebumps, right? Not Justin Bieber. No. Now, movie-wise, actually, I think it's the opposite end of what's happening musically. I think it's a fantastic summer for entertainment. Atomic Blonde. Charlize Theron. I always would say Theron, but it's Theron, I believe. I could have it wrong still. I thought the movie was great. I mean, I can watch her watch paint dry. I mean, she's just phenomenal. And the fact that she does her own stunts is incredible. Storyline's good. Baby Driver, haven't seen it. Everything I've read about it's been great. The Big Sick, incredible. Duncan Kirk, haven't seen that one either. Detroit, Jesse. The program director gives it two thumbs up, right, Jesse? Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, two thumbs up. So those are some great movies. So I guess the big silver screen's taking over the radio waves and digital platform in terms of good music this summer. But that's all right, because we always have certainly great music to play here in between segments. And, you know, it's hard to generate. And also the timing of a summer hit is huge, because you never know when a song is going to take off. You can drop it in February or March or April, or, you know, the song of the summer could be released today and may hit in next May or June. So you never know how songs really, really take off. So that's the deal there. So I want to touch on something that's something very touching the nerves of many, many Americans. What took place last week in Charlottesville, Virginia, is just unthinkable. The fact that supremacists and neo-Nazis got together, obviously, to protest the removal of the statue. And, of course, you know the rest, how it played out. Driver ramming his car into a crowd of protesters, counter-protesters, and killed the unfortunate Heather Heyer, only 32 years of age. And I take my hat off to her mother for speaking out so astutely about how we have to end hatred and violence and racism and more. But it still just boggles my mind that in 2017, after an 8-year term of an African-American president, that there is still much racism and hatred in this country. It still just boggles my mind. And I guess the fact that we live in New York City and we're bookends, you know, the East Coast and West Coast are much more liberal and always have been and vote that way. But when I see these video clips and read more and more about the op-eds and the opinions and people on both sides, and it just, and people have their feet really dug into these firm beliefs, and it's just really scary that that I'm happy to see that when Donald Trump's business campaign or associates, what is this actually referred to? The White House Business Council. So a handful of CEOs that advise our great President Trump. Okay. For example, the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, PepsiCo, and a few more. They're there to jump or to advise the president, certainly on good business moves that would bring money into the company, how to keep businesses here, et cetera. They left because they realized that, you know, they can't, they think they're the reflection of racism, intolerance, and violence is not something they represent, their companies represent, and nothing America represents. And I think that speaks volumes. And before, this is so Trump-like, before more people on that president's council, business advisory council, could quit, he shut down the councils. Because that's the way Trump operates. Because he couldn't just say, you know what? And also the three times that he misspoke this week trying to backstep, backpedal in terms of what he said, and because he wouldn't really put the blame on one particular class of demonstrators. So the thing is, he can't put all groups in a bucket and say that they're all wrong, because you're saying that people who are against racism, violence, and intolerance are the same as people who are opposed to that. And that's not true. So, again, another ridiculous week at the White House. Again, condolences to the family of Heather Heyer, and anybody who is getting their morals and ethics kind of trampled on because of things of this nature. I mean, there's no reason. Again, you can be prejudiced, and that's fine. Keep it to yourself. If someone as a nation wants to take down a Confederate flag, a statue, a monument, which I applaud, L.A. and another city this week, earlier this week, took down a statue. Where was it? Can't recall right now. Baltimore, that's where it was. Other cities soon to follow, because I think it's the right thing to do. It's 2017. We have grown as a nation incredibly. We have a lot more work to do, evidently. I think it's a wake-up call to everybody about how much work is in store in terms of easing racial tensions. The workforce should be more reflective of our community, our tapestry, the melting pot of New York City and every city around. Of course, every cities across the nation are more homogenous, not the coast, of course, more homogenous in the middle, Bible Belt, etc. But certainly, it has to be reflective of the country that we are. I mean, that's what we're based on, a country that welcomed immigration. Immigrants of all walks of life to build this great nation, that probably the building that we're sitting in right here in Midtown, that the Progressive Radio Network is located in, the one that we were uptown in, the World Trade Center, Empire State Building, all those buildings were built by immigrants. And the ones that are being built right now, if you go anywhere at lunchtime, you go to a bodega, you know, you'll see United Nations waiting in line with hard hats, getting their sandwiches, their drinks. And it's great. And that should be reflective of every workplace, not just construction. But my point is that, you know, there's certainly a means for us to get along. And it has existed for many, many years. I believe certainly right now, it just takes a little bit of scratching of the surface to get people unnerved or unhinged. And it's really been a wake-up call for myself that I thought we were more advanced. As a man who's involved in a interracial marriage myself, I've always considered myself to being very open-minded. My family's open-minded. Actually, my father needed some work because he would be like a little Archie Bunker. But then he stopped drinking and he had some clarity. And my mom, she educated him properly and he got better. But it just goes to show you, even within a family, you can have some racism. Not racism that he acted on. It was more of a, like myself, I make fun of everybody. White, black, purple, whatever, disabled, not disabled. Because, you know, I always put down myself with my vision. Because I can be self-deprecating because I think that's just a good way of dealing with things sometimes. Because humor is great for levity. And why not, right? Because sometimes if you can't fix everything, you can make fun of some things. And as long as you're not offending people, and that's not a terrible thing, by all means. So I was part of, fortunately, the New Jersey Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired when I was a student, probably around sixth grade or so. And I got introduced to them and they came to the school and they said, Mark and Mrs. Farrell, what can we do for your son to help him progress and to have his experience in school better one? And no assistive technology existed back then, except for this large print dictionary. I think I've mentioned this before on the air, that came in around, I think, just below under 13 pounds. I have to take a picture of this because it's a great prop that I use on stage. It's about yay big, and the font is probably about 16, 18 point font. Think of that on your Word when you're doing a document. So that's pretty big, right? So that's what I got. And I got some magnifier that looked like a crystal ball that really was just horrible and didn't do anything. So unfortunately, there wasn't much for me to for them to do. But then they helped me out when I got into college, financial assistance and things of that nature. And then, of course, since the digital platform came and the sky's the limit in terms of making things accessible for people who are hearing impaired. Our great guest last week who was hearing impaired with the interpreter. I mean, that was a great segment. If you didn't catch that show, you can certainly log on to Facebook, Progressive Radio Network, and actually see that segment, the video of it. Or you can go into PRN.FM under Insight page and listen to it. It's a great segment and a testament to the fact that even if you have a disability, it's not a limitation. You just live your life differently. And it certainly does not keep someone back, prevent them from being an advocate, prevent them from speaking at the United Nations. A friend of the show, Albert, what is Albert's last name? He started an organization called The Blind Spot. Albert Rizzi spoke at the UN the other day. And he just lost his vision about 8-10 years ago due to a kind of a fluke accident. And he's an incredible individual just doing wonderful things to open the doors and access for so many people. And I take my hat off to that. So getting back to New Jersey Commission for the Blind, there are certainly agencies that exist that do incredible things for people of all disabilities. But today we're certainly going to focus on a person, Helen Keller, that from obviously, you know, the story from years ago that she was just indomitable on every level. Her ability to give up. To want to learn, to be able to educate herself, to be able to communicate with the world, despite not seeing, despite not hearing. And here we are in 2017, after the Helen Keller Services for the Blind was established agency in 1893. And here to join me first off is Russell Martello, Director of Youth Services. And Russell, when you think about how many years have gone by and how many probably tens and tens of thousands of people have benefited from Helen Keller Services, it must make your face just light up.
Definitely. It's a very special organization. And, you know, the adults, the youth we service, I'm very pleased to work with them. I'm very inspired by the work we do. And a young man like Treg, I've seen him grow over the years, and it's incredible to see the growth that he's made.
We had a great opportunity to meet on Broadway a few weeks ago at an event that was sponsored by Michelle Spitz and Woman of Her Word, that actually had Treg and a bunch of his peers at a restaurant, and we had a great luncheon, and we had two Broadway actors from
School of Rock.
Yes. Who shared their stories of adversity and how they worked really diligently and arduously to get where they are today. And it was a great, great experience. And also, all the students, along with Trey, got to go over to the show and have the audio description of the musical. And that's how we got connected. And I said, you know, I got to have you on the show because big fan of your agency. And you're, I believe, approaching the 125th year.
Correct. Yeah. 125th anniversary next year.
Fantastic. Anything planned for that?
I am sure that we have something very big planned.
It's under wraps.
Can't say specifically right now. Top secret.
Fantastic. I mean, there's so many different aspects of youth services that are instrumental. We're going to hear from Treg in a few minutes to find out exactly what some of those are. But just go over some of the purposes of what you do in preparing these young, very capable people to go out and get a job in the world.
Definitely. So in all our programs, we're really trying to help people reach their highest level of independence, whether that's going to be independent employment, whether that's going to be learning the skills to live on your own, perhaps a dehabilitation program, which we also have at Helen Keller. Really just getting to know people individually and helping them get to where they want in life.
How rewarding is it for you as a director of youth services to have someone come full circle where, you know, they had some struggles or some deficiencies or just lack of education and insight, and then maybe 6 months, a year or two later, that they're ready to go? They're ready to open a door and say, go on, my little bird, be free.
Exactly. It's absolutely incredible. You know, sometimes it's really just helping somebody believe in themselves.
Oh, sure.
you know, you meet somebody with a big goal. We've had people that wanted to be nurses, people that wanted to be lawyers, and they say, I'll never be able to do that because of my visual impairment. And you help them realize that that's just not true. And then you help them achieve that goal. And when that happens, there's really no feeling better.
Wouldn't it be amazing if Helen Keller could, like, be here to see what technology exists today?
It would be.
My Lord.
Yeah.
Imagine if she had that technology. She could have probably invented this technology back in 1893.
I'm sure.
So when you have an individual, and a lot of times persons with disabilities, visual impairments and or multiple disabilities, don't graduate until later in life,
right.
18, 19, 20, maybe sometimes 21, 22. Does that put them at a disadvantage or an advantage because they're staying longer to get the required skill sets and or everyday life training?
Well, it depends on the type of training they're getting. So if it's catered to you, if you have a really dedicated, caring teacher like Helen Keller did, then the longer, the better. If you're sitting around and you're not being challenged and you're becoming stagnant, then it's not a positive. But I really do feel like at Helen Keller, we try to be very creative. We're very passionate. We have some amazing minds that are they're on the cutting edge. They do some really innovative things.
And the next voice you'll hear is an amazing mind. Treg McMillan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good today. I just want to say, first of all, thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. When we met at the performance 2 weeks ago in Midtown, I gave you some of my French fries. We bonded.
Yes, yes.
I knew right then we were going to be pals for a long time. Because you sat next to me and I said, do you want some of my French fries? You said yes, and you took me up on it.
Yes, yes. But my experience with the Helen Keller program, like I've been saying, it's like my family. They're like my family.
Fantastic.
They helped me with a lot of things, and I could. Oh my God, I'm a little.
You don't
bit
even know where to start.
Now.
You don't even know where to start. So what did they help you with? I mean, you look incredibly dressed today. You're a handsome guy. You're on the ball.
Thank you.
You're charismatic.
Thank you.
You're smart. You were the greeter. There was a art exhibit at Helen Keller Services for the Blind in Brooklyn. Correct.
Correct.
It was about 2 weeks ago or so, and you were the official greeter. So
yes.
What does that say?
Yes,
that says a lot.
It does say a lot, and with them just helping me, with that, I thank them.
What has that done for your confidence, Trigg?
It boosted my confidence a lot. Because I've been talking about becoming a preacher when I grow up.
I'll give you an amen.
So I'm
not just giving you, you know, blown smoke here. I can sense that because you have a natural kind of an effervescence to you.
Yeah.
And an energy you can't teach people. I think you're born with positivity. Regardless, you don't need a disability or nobody wants a disability. Oh, yeah. Check disability box for the baby coming up. No. You're just born with it or end or you get it later in life. We're all going to get disabled in life. You know, as we age and our bodies start breaking down, as I ordered my shoulder ice pack brace this morning online, that's another point. Anyway, so yes, I think you could be a preacher.
And don't think I'm trying to preach now, but I've been telling people God is gonna bless you, and I'm telling Russell and Yocasta right now, God is really going to bless y'all for what y'all have done. I'm serious.
Thank you.
For the kids that come into y'all program, such as myself and a few other kids, y'all have really helped us. Y'all really have helped us a lot. And that goes without saying. That goes without saying. Y'all are really going to go far in life. And congratulations on the upcoming anniversary.
Yes,
congratulations
yes.
on that.
We're going to talk about that, Fiesta. I think we should actually start a board planning, you know, for this 125th anniversary. But more importantly, they have done a great job. But guess what? You couldn't be who you are without you putting the work into what you've done for the last 2 years. So let's talk about that. What was one of your goals? Was it to be maybe effective more in the social ramification and have more professional etiquette when you go to your first job?
I must say that is true.
Good.
That is true. I've been, excuse me.
Take your time, my friend.
I've had people ask me. I've been telling them what I want to be when I grow up. They said, well, Treg, we're gonna take your word for it. I've told a lot of people, and I think my dream is gonna come true.
Okay, a few minutes before we went live today, we talked about something that you were very appreciative of, and then you said your ultimate dream is, and I said, what? Stop. Tell us on the air live. So now you can reveal it.
Now my ultimate dream is to become a preacher.
Oh, that is the ultimate dream. Great.
That is my ultimate dream.
Great.
And
so what do you think you need to do to get there?
I need to work hard, and I know there are two ladies that are not with me right now. One is one woman that raised me from a little baby to the man I am now, my mother, and rest in peace to her. She has really done a lot for me.
Fantastic.
She really
but
has
you
done
can't
a lot
underestimate
for me.
What Traig has done for Traig. Correct?
Yeah, yes.
Do you take stock in all the work that you've put into becoming who you are and who you want to be?
Yes. Yes. I've had my family help me with that along the way.
So let's talk about some specifics. What couldn't you do maybe a year or two ago that you have no problem doing now, whether it's a skill or maybe just thinking differently, or maybe it's even a sport or just being around people or just improve confidence, anything of that nature?
I'm not too sure about that.
I think all the above.
Yes.
Right. I'll give you another. Amen, baby.
But I'm just saying, with like I said before, without my family, I wouldn't be who I am today.
I think a lot of us would not be who we are today without my family. Without my family, I'd be much better off. I mean, no. I didn't mean that, really, family. No, of course. Our family is vital to who we are. And you know what? It's funny because I live in a small little development in the suburbs of New Jersey. And, you know, we're always borrowing stuff, and the guys across the street from me are very handy. And, you know, I lend them tools, they help me out, et cetera. And I always keep saying, it takes a village because, you know, they look out for Luke, my son, and other, and we help each other out, and the kids. It's true because there's not one person who can give one child everything that they need. And I'm not talking about the financial or the a roof over their head and shelter. I'm just talking about knowledge and support. And I read a great line a few weeks ago. And it goes something like this, if I can recall it properly. You're never as tall as when you lean down to help a child. Isn't that great?
That is.
You're never as tall as when you lean down to help a child.
That is wonderful.
Yeah. You can use that. Tuck that away. Tuck that away so when you're a preacher, you can pull that out for your first sermon.
And to Mr. Russell, I'm going to say right now, You have really helped me a lot with everything I wanted to accomplish.
Well, like Mark was saying, I think you've helped yourself a lot too, Treg.
Yeah.
And, you know, you actually shared a couple of the things that you felt like you learned that you really hadn't done before this summer. So I think you really did a lot of hard work yourself.
Now let's talk about some of those programs. Yukasa Urina is joining the show. She's a program manager at the Helen Keller Services for the Blind. Yes, yeah, welcome her to the show. She's walking in. Oh, no, as you can see on the camera, she's been here. Come on up to the microphone, Yukasa. By the way, I love your name.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I was going to have another child and it was a girl, I'd name her Yukasa.
I appreciate that. I hope I get royalties.
But it's not happening, so sorry. So, welcome. Well, and congratulations on the work that you do. It's so admirable. because it really gives people opportunities, open doors on whatever level, personal level, professional level. And you can't take that goal lightly because, you're impacting lives and there's nothing like that.
Thank you. Well, as Russell had said earlier, one of our goals is to make sure that our students are as independent as they possibly can be. TREG participated in our explorability program. And with explorability, we basically want to help students become independent and learn skills that they can use for employment. Some of the skills, and I'll let TREG kind of fill us in on this, right?
Yes.
When you were part of the program, TREG, you received some lessons with specific specialists, right?
Yes.
The lessons that you received were to help strengthen some of your skills.
Yes.
Do you remember any of the lessons that you had? What were they for? Ryan?
Actually, there were many lessons I've had.
Mm-hmm.
There were many. Number one was mobility with Marie.
Mm-hmm.
Marie. So,
Do you remember what the purpose of mobility is?
The purpose of the mobility was to help me be independent around the area,
mm-hmm.
around the area of Brooklyn.
Yep. So basically, many of our students with visual impairments, one of the things that limits them the most, Mark, is the inability to travel independently.
Sure.
If you want to have a job and you want to sustain employment, you need to be able to get to work and get back from your job. So in our program, our students receive orientation and mobility, which is basically learning how to travel independently.
Sure.
Yep.
It's hard to navigate the city for anybody without a disability. So with that other challenge, it makes it a little bit more difficult. But the first of anything new is difficult. But the reality is, Trey, you're going to learn the subway system or the way you walk to the bus stops or whatever, even better than anybody, because you're going to pick up little sounds, nuances that people with perfect vision or better vision take for granted because they don't have to rely on that. So if you may have a little nervousness or intrepidation now, it's going to be gone.
Definitely.
Yeah. Thank you for that confidence.
Oh, I know you.
I needed that. I was dreaming about today. I was like, oh my God, I'm nervous. I was saying to myself, just let me think about something that makes me happy.
Mm.
And being with Russell and Yocasta has made me happy. It has made me who I am today. And if you don't mind, I would like to share some of those.
Please do.
Some of those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Like one, the technology with Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, Yocasta, the technology that we did.
Definitely. So our students also learn through our technology instructor, Ryan. They learn how to use apps that make their life easier. For example, VoiceOver, if they're outside and they can't see the screen.
Fantastic.
And they need to receive information.
Mm-hmm. Which everybody uses without a visual disability because it's just easier, hands-free.
Exactly.
So don't even think about it like, because sometimes, you can get frustrated like, oh, I got bad eyes, I can't do this. But you know what? A lot of people use these technologies, existing technologies, especially with Apple, because it makes their life easier. So think, but maybe you have to use it because it's a necessity, but still, it's a great way to just, get through your day in a much easier way, manner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the people who doubt themselves, I want to tell you something right now. I want to tell you right now, you don't have to limit yourself from doing what you're doing. I'm a prime example. I'm a prime example.
You are, my friend.
Of what I'm doing. I'm able to walk. I'm able to talk. But that's I don't mean to sound like I'm preaching, but right
but
now...
But you're preaching.
But right now, I feel as though I am.
Exactly.
I'm telling you.
So let's talk about the orientation program, and that could be for Yocasta or for anybody. Mm-hmm. Russell, you get a student prepared for school, parent orientation, or they're graduating from school. You go through, I guess, an analysis or the what-ifs can happen, and take it from there, and how do you prepare a student for their first job?
So for example, with explorability, it's a 5-week pre-vocational program. They receive training in orientation and mobility, technology, VRT, which is learning how to anywhere from making a sandwich to cooking on the stove and taking care of themselves independently.
I could use that class.
Yes, I think I could too.
What do you mean you think you could tell? Giving it back to me. I love it. Yo, Costa's spicy. I love it.
LOL.
Yeah, so basically we meet with the families, we informally assess them in terms of what does the family want, or what do they feel their child needs. We take in consideration the student as well, and ask them what are some areas where they feel that they need a little bit more assistance. But in order to get them prepared for the workplace, these skills have to be in place. That's really the bottom line. We can help them out later on and help them get placement. Russell maybe can speak more in terms of that. But the basic skill is independence. If you are not independent, you will not be able to successfully sustain employment.
Talk about your connections with employers. Are there programs in place, for example, with Company A that welcomes students from the Helen Keller Services for the Blind and Visually Impaired?
Absolutely. So, myself, as well as our placement team, we do a lot of cold calling, a lot of networking. We try to develop business relationships. Sometimes that's through programs such as our February Career Exploration Week, where we take students who are 10 to 14 years of age to different companies. We've worked with companies.
That's young. Like, fantastic.
Yeah, the Marriott, United Nations, FDNY. And really get kids to interact with many different employees within the company, ask questions about their career path, and just get excited about work and realize this is something I could actually do. We also have summer internships. Right now we have about 18 students working throughout different companies in Brooklyn. And we try to match students with their career interests. If they're not really sure yet, we have business partners that are just willing to work with our interns and give them a first foot in the door.
When you mentioned the different organizations, I think, well, it's great, number one, the students are going to benefit, but also think about the eyes of the corporation being open, because they meet these kids. You know, I'm sure there's a likability factor, but then they say to themselves, wow, I mean, in a couple years, these kids are going to be out of school looking for employment, mm-hmm. and why not have a program here at J.P. Morgan or FDNY or whatever the case may be to give an opportunity to a student like or a graduate like Traig and many other people. And so I think that's actually beneficial for both parties.
Sure. Yeah, we actually had a young lady who was 15 years old working at the Whitney this summer, and she got exposed to all different types of careers there. And in addition to that, we had her kind of coordinate and run our art gallery for the final day of the explorability program.
I love it.
And it was just really fantastic to see, you know, somebody who is a little bit shy really come out of her shell and just do an amazing job.
So, Trey, you realize that you have charisma.
Yes.
And I think that resonates certainly when you talk, but also when you think about your next endeavor, your first job, it's going to embolden you, and your courage will take you far, because sometimes, you know, everybody's new at something always. Like, yeah. When I go to a store and someone's ringing up an item, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm brand new. And I just say to them, don't worry, everyone's brand new at something, you know, first, right?
Yeah.
It's not the first time I spoke on a microphone. This is your first time, but the next time will be easier and easier and easier. So when you're in a pulpit as a preacher, it'll be like, whew, easy peasy,
yes,
for you, right?
And sorry to cut you off.
Oh, you did not, but thank you for the apology.
I can't help but touch on what Russell just mentioned about the art gallery. Mm-hmm. I was, and I hope to be again soon, one of the greeters at the art show.
Mm-hmm. And I think he's holding your feet to the fire there, pal.
I'm pretty sure Russell could tell you all about it, but that for that experience being at Helen Keller was something that changed me.
Fantastic.
In a good way, my friend.
Yes, yes.
My name is Mark Farrell. The show is Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. It's about 40 minutes past the hour. My guests today are Treg McMillian. Let's hear it up for Treg. Yay! Yocasta, Urena Program Manager, and Russell Martello. Helen Keller Services enables individuals who are blind, visually impaired, deafblind, or have combined hearing loss to live, work, and thrive in the communities of their choice. Helen Keller Services offers services and programs through two divisions, the Helen Keller National Center for Deaf, Blind, Youth, and Adults, and Helen Keller Services for the Blind. So there's a lot of people being served here. If you had to break it down, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but how many of your students have both deaf and or blindness, visual impairments?
My specialty is really more the youth and adults with visual impairments specifically. On Long Island, that's where we really specialize in the deafblind population, so I'm not as up-to-date on those figures.
No problem. Yocasta, any insight there?
Same here. The students that we see in Brooklyn are mainly students with visual impairments. Some of our kids, we had a young lady participate this summer who is also hearing impaired, but it really is the minority within the minority, in at least in the Brooklyn setting.
Treg, 2 years ago, when you entered the program or thereabout, were there things that you thought in life that you would never be able to accomplish, and now 2 years later, they are not daunting and these are goals that you want to attain?
Well, you know, I'm not too sure about that, but I must say, Helen Keller has got me to where I am today. Mm.
I think I could help you out with that, Treg. Think of some of the training that you've received. Is there something that you had a hard time with at the beginning of the summer that you feel like you can do easier now?
You know what, Yocasta? Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you right now. I think at the beginning it was that mobility that got me a little bit
nervous or hesitant.
Yeah. Having a hard time with.
Sure. Well, that's understandable. You have a little bit of, is it a walker they use, an assistant?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have a walker.
And when I think I saw you come in the building, you can go like 0 to 65 in like no time flat. You're pretty fast there, kid. You go right up that church aisle, right up to that pulpit.
You asked Mr. Russell, he will tell you, I was zooming down the hallway.
Good.
Every morning I was coming to Helen Keller.
Let me ask you, Treg, do you think someone of your age with your experience with a visual impairment and mobility issues can ride a bike, can get a job and bring in income to support themselves and or family one day, and or be a painter, do a triathlon, a marathon? Do you think a person of that, those qualifications, can do all that?
I'm saying this to everybody who's listening right now. You could do anything you put your mind to. Whether it be riding a bike, whether it be cooking, whether it be just working in an office building, you could do anything you put your mind to. Or even working on a radio station.
Well, that's too easy. You have to give a higher goal than that. What about as a mentor? Do you mentor any of your peers in school? Do you give them any like insightful advice, like, or motivation, like, hey, pal, you can do it. Listen, I'm 2 years down the road, and I was kind of like you when I started, and I know you just have to work a little bit harder to get where you need to be, and give them some advice that way.
I've encouraged a lot of people.
Good.
I've encouraged a lot of people, and I'm telling you, it has done wonders for me.
Yeah, it makes you feel good, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
you know
does.
What? I also read something else the other day. I don't know. I keep coming across these. The feeling or a true reward is being able to do something for someone that they can never repay you for. Mm-hmm. So it's true. It's an intangible, whether you're giving them encouragement or possibly maybe it's monetary someday, but it's something that someone can never repay you for because it's that gargantuan or that impactful that it just ultimately changes their life, and that's the ultimate reward. And you guys certainly are in positions to experience that on a daily, weekly, and yearly basis, and that's a great thing.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So is there any way people certainly can contribute to the Helen Keller Services for the Blind and Visually Impaired?
There are many ways.
Yes, let's hear them.
One of the easiest ways to get involved is just being an individual or a company willing to work with our adults and youth, providing job opportunities, internships, coming in to do mock interviews. Of course, we are a nonprofit and we thrive on donations and the generosity of others. Just partnering with us in any of the many programs we run, going to our website, helenkeller.org, and seeing many of the different programs and things that we're working on, and really deciding what is something that you're passionate about, something you'd like to get involved in helping us with.
You, Costa?
You know, sometimes I'm also visually impaired, I should mention. Sometimes people are a little afraid to hire people with disabilities because they feel like, well, maybe they won't know what to do or how to do the job, or maybe they'll need additional assistance. That's why we're here. Accommodations, yeah. Yes. That's why we're here. We're here to support people with vision loss. And if you are an employer who's open to receiving people with vision loss, we can come into the workplace.
It's the law.
Yeah, it's the law. Exactly. But we can come into the workplace and help the employee learn the skills on the job so that it's a smooth transition for everybody.
You know, it doesn't take much for companies.
No, it really
doesn't. Maybe it doesn't even hit the pocketbook really hard for a small business and certainly corporations that maybe have monitors that are big. First of all, I mean, we even see it on TV shows and in news everywhere. When you see somebody's monitor on their desk, they're 19 inches, they're 21 inches, mm-hmm. they're big. Mm-hmm. I mean, for people who don't have any visual impairments, you know, because you certainly want to have the eyes work as least as possible with the strain and the amount of hours mm-hmm. people spend in front of the computer. So someone with a visual impairment, you know, the screens are the size of a regular sighted person is what I would die for 10 years ago. You know,
the reality is the accommodations are not as daunting as people think.
Not at
They're
all.
Accommodations that help everyone. So,
and, you know, I think one of the greatest things about our services is that for both sides, they're free. Mm-hmm. If you're a client, if you're legally blind, we can sponsor you for any of these programs. We can help you get free accommodations. If you're an employer, we have internships where our students' salaries are paid by Helen Keller for the summer. So it's really just a win-win. It's easy to get involved and something that we hope is good for everyone.
So talk about briefly, if you can, Yocasta and Russell, about graduates when they get their first job, the success rate.
Okay.
Sure. So just like any other population mm-hmm. In the world, it's really dependent on the motivation of the person themselves.
And a good match, I imagine.
Exactly. And a good match. And that's what we really try to do, help people develop their passions, put them in a position to get their foot in the door in that area. And, you know, one story I can really think of is a young lady. She was one of my first clients, and she wanted to be a nurse, she wanted to be a doctor, she wanted to be in something in the medical field, and she just didn't believe she could do it. She really struggled with this. You know, she had some serious setbacks related to that feeling, and I put her in touch with a doctor who I had seen do a keynote who had a visual impairment. He was absolutely amazing. He spent an hour with her on the phone and just made her believe in herself. After that,
fantastic.
She signed up for nursing school. I went to her graduation.
Really?
She went to another level of nursing school. I can never remember which certification is which, but the highest level. She just graduated again. She's getting married. You know, just anything that you would want in a successful, happy life as far as relationship, job, she's done it. She's done it all.
That says it all.
Yeah.
Wow. Yocasta?
Yeah. You know, we at Helen Keller focus a lot of our attention in helping students learn the key skills, right? We say that you can do anything that you set your mind to it, but you need to learn skills in order to do that. And we focus...
Just like anybody in life.
Just like anybody. And we focus on those skills, teaching them those skills so that when they get to the point of employment, they are confident. And that's what I see in our students. I see a lot of confidence. They go into the workplace. They know what they have to do. And again, like Russell said, it really depends then on them and their willingness to succeed.
Russell, Traig, sorry, looking to the right here. Traig, is there anything in your mind that you think is going to hold you back?
You know,
sometimes we have, you know, sorry to interrupt you, on our bad days, you know, we all can't feel incredibly positive and self-confident every day. So on maybe the days that aren't so, you know, as confidence build, et cetera, are there things that you say to yourself, well, maybe I'm worried about X, Y, or Z? No, that's great.
No. I've just been inspiring myself. I inspire other people. I do a lot of things. I encourage other, and I like I said, you could, a lot of people, if they say they're gonna do something, then by all means, go ahead and do it. You could do whatever you put your mind to.
Regardless whether you have a disability or not.
Regardless of that, whether you have a disability or
not. Absolutely.
You do what you're going to put your mind to.
You don't want to sit on the sideline of life. You want to partake.
Right.
Life is too short, man. You don't want to miss out.
Right.
Traig. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
I'm going to be reading about you. I know that. Yeah. Where are you going to be preaching? Midtown, downtown, all over? You're going to have your own cable show in the next couple of years.
All over. I've just had
my family just. And help me to be the young man I am today.
And never forget that you can lean on them or your friends or your mentors here, Yocasta and Russell. And the sky will be your limit, my friend. I promise you.
Now hold on here.
We're running out of time. Make it quick here, Traig.
The friends. Some of them may stab you in the back.
That's okay.
Don't hang around
with black clouds. You be the shining star.
You should be careful who you be friends with.
That's right.
Because I've been bullied in high school, and
then you got to tell me what high school you went to, and I'll go there because I speak at school, so we'll take care of that. Hey, Kelsey, can we hear Mi Gente again? You got that queued up? You can bring that underneath. Yocasta, Urena, thank you so much. Program Manager, Helen Keller Services for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Russell, thank you so much. It was a great pleasure meeting you. Yeah, here we go. Traig's pumping it up. Special thanks to Deborah for also making this work, and to everyone at the Helen Keller Services for the Blind Agency. And the website, again, is HelenKeller.org.
HelenKeller.org.
Volunteer, donate, and more. My name is Mark Farrell. If you'd like me to speak at your school, college, or corporation, it's MarkFarrellMotivation.com. MarkFarrellMotivation.com. Gary Knowles next. Have a great day. Enjoy Magenta. Ciao.
El mundo es grande, pero lo tengo en mis manos. Estoy muy duro, sí, ok, ahí vamos. Y con el tiempo nos seguimos elevando. Yeah.
que seguimos rompiendo aquí. Esta fiesta no tiene fin. Botellas para arriba, sí. Los tengo bailando, rompiendo y yo sigo aquí. Que seguimos rompiendo aquí. Esta fiesta no tiene fin. Botellas para arriba, sí.
Los tengo bailando, rompiendo.
¿Y dónde está mi gante?
Me fue a buscar la teta.
¿Y dónde está mi gante? Sí, yeah, yeah.